Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. India has a new president, Draupadi Murmu, a wonderful tribal leader with a proven track record as a teacher, an MLA, a minister and governor. But is her nomination largely symbolic? Have any of our political parties really done enough to further tribal rights? On the show tonight, the Murmu moment for tribes in our country, from margins to the mainstream. Is that really the case, is what we are asking on this program. Joining us, Dr. Pala Rajeshwar Reddy of the TRS. We're also joined by Captain Ganesh Karnik of the BJP. We'll also be joined by many others, including Suraj Yengde, the author and columnist of the Indian Express. Among our other panelists, Khushbu Sundar, the BJP leader, will be with us. Johar Sarkar of the Trinamool Congress. And Prakash Ambedkar, the social activist and writer. So we've got a big panel today. Let me go first across to George Sarkar. Mr. Sarkar, it's wonderful. I think we would all agree that we've got a president who is a tribal leader. She's risen up the ranks from being a teacher to being the president of our country. But in terms of what political parties have done for tribal representation and tribal rights, is this largely symbolic?
It is. It is. We welcome the appointment of Ms. Murmu as the first tribal president of India. We welcome her elevation, but we feel that it's largely a very symbolic or a tokenistic measure, more of a political ploy in view of the coming elections all the way up to 24. To try to explain to the tribals that though we have done precious little for you, we care so much for you that we have a tribal at the head, as the head of state.
Okay.
It's completely political.
Khushbu Sundar, would you like to respond to that, that this is entirely political? No party, I would suggest, has done enough for tribal rights, but the BJP and the NDA have nominated Draupadi Murmu with the elections in mind, not just 2024, but elections prior to that as well.
You do, you're damned. You don't do it, you're still damned. I think this is what the oppositions are going to talk about. When we want to elevate a woman who's from such a humble background and we tell her that she has become the president, the first lady of the country, we were expecting these kind of brickbats because this is what was expected. Because when the other parties have failed miserably to give them the position what they rightly deserve, being equal with every other citizen of this country, and when we have a woman there right at the top, we were expecting this. So we are not surprised. But I'm telling you this, this is not about being politically right. This is not about with elections in mind. It is purely that a tribal community which has been neglected, though we are celebrating 75 years of independence. This is one thing which we've been neglected in 75 long years. And here we are. We are putting them up on the pedestal and we are telling them that we care. It is very obvious that the opposition, when they have nothing more to do, they are going to say that this is politically motivated move. So I'm not surprised. And I let them, stay with their understanding because that shallow and short-minded they are.
Okay, we'll get down to specifics in a moment. But Dr. Pala Rajeshwar Reddy of the TRS, would you like to respond that this is shallow criticism from the opposition in the country? It is important to recognize this for what it is. It is a great movement for tribals in our country, for Adivasis in our country, that our head of state is one amongst them.
I don't think actually initially I would like to congratulate Madam Murmu for her election as a president of the recent elections. But in the Indian system, the role of the president is very limited. And if you look at the history, Indian history and the Indian presidents, whether they represent women or the Dalit or other caste also, they have not influenced the respective governments to get something done for their community or the states. It is just like they don't take any decision at all. In the very few cases, they may influence for the certain things. So I don't think it is a clear tact or the move by the BJP to get votes from the particular tribal and also Adivasis. If they are really interested, if they are, they could have not closed many PSUs in which these all tribals and also Dalits and OBCs will be getting the jobs. Why they have been closing all this for the last 8 years? And now by last in the last 6 years of the Ramnath Kovind ji term, have they done any special measures or special initiatives for the upliftment of the Dalits? This is the first my question.
All right, 1 second. Let's get an answer to that. Mr. Reddy will come back to you. You've raised a couple of points. I'm keen to get an answer. Khushbu Sundar, would you like to respond to that? A point
yes,
made
I would
that,
like to
yeah,
tell
go ahead.
Dr. Reddy, I would like to tell him that every scheme which has been brought in by a very honourable Prime Minister, it goes to every other citizen of this country. Is there one scheme, whether it has been about education, whether it has been about the backward class, whether it has been about women and child development, it was about minorities? Please tell me one scheme which says this is not for the Adivasis or the tribal, this is not for the SC and ST, or this is not for the backward class. Every scheme is for every citizen of this country. And the schemes which have not been put across to into your state, Dr. Reddy, I'm sorry and I'm afraid to say that's because the kind of animosity what TRS has against the Prime Minister and BJP. And we have seen it in very recent times when we had the National Executive Committee meeting very much in Hyderabad and how they went. I mean, your president does not even bother to go and receive the Prime Minister at the airport. So I think it's just that it shows that, you know, whatever you do, whatever the Prime Minister does, you're sitting there trying to find faults. I would suggest that please go through all the schemes. Please go through all the benefits, beneficiary schemes which have been brought in for the poor and the backward class. And I'm sure it will help you to understand and run the government in a little better way.
All right. I just want to get into a couple of facts. And again, I just want to go back to Khushbu before I go across to my other panelists. Under the Forest Rights Act, now this is something which is absolutely critical for Adivasi communities. Now, except for Tripura, none of BJP-ruled states has crossed even the All India average of 50.4% of claims converted to titles. So if you are looking, for example, at what the BJP has done, in this case, they've not done enough. I'll give you one more example. Allocation of funds for welfare. These are all Parliament statistics. The actual allocation for tribals was just 4.9% in 2018-2019. That rose to 7.3% in the budget estimates for 2022-23, but the mandated amount is 8.2%. So we are still short over there. So is this essentially lip service? That's the question.
No, it's not a lip service. Please understand the kind of pandemic we have been through, the kind of economical crisis we have been through, not only in India, but world over. We have been working on schemes which will benefit the Adivasis and the backward class and the tribals. We have been working on them. And every time we try to work, we do find people from the opposition trying to attack us. But trust us, when the country with the single largest party in the entire world, India with BJP, I think we are moving in the right direction. And let me tell you, it is not about political. We are not going into elections now. We still are 2 years away. So it's not about political. I think we need to understand that we are growing as a nation. We are growing together. Yes, nobody can, finish doing the job in 8 years. The kind of damage that has been done to the country in the last 68 years, it's going to take long. It's going to take long for BJP to rectify and make sure that things are put in place. But give us some time. We are just 8 years young. We are working towards it, and we promise that this is not about election, this is not about lip service, but this is about the progression of the country. This is about the equal rights of every citizen in our country.
All right. Dr. Suraj Yengde, I could go through other numbers as well. I think one which really strikes everyone is rising atrocities among the tribal communities in our country. In 2020, there were more than 8,272 cases which were reported. In 2019, it was lower at 8,257. It was lower still in 2018. So the question is this, it's wonderful to have a president who is from the Adivasi community, but if you actually look at how members of that community are treated in some of the most heinous crimes across the country, the numbers are just going up. And that's shocking.
You know, Vishnu, I look at this in two frames. The first is, when will a representation offered to Adivasi, who are more than 7% of India's population, will not be interpreted as mere tokenistic or symbolic. See, Brahmins are not more than 4%. They have dominated important portfolios, positions. Why doesn't that become a Brahmin tokenism? Because there is a deep-seated caste hierarchy that regulates this. And for all its limitations that the RSS offers, they have an attitude of samrasta where they really would like to bring back the scheduled caste and scheduled tribe into their fold, of course, as subordinates. And that can be seen, ironically enough, that the Adivasi president, the first citizen of India, is being anointed by three unqualified Brahmins, showering her some Vedic mantras. Instead, it would have been better that the Adivasi gods and Adivasi spiritual would have been invited. That would have been more befitting tribute to the legacy of not only her Santhali people, but also entire indigenous people.
No, but Dr. Yengde, most respectfully, if this is about inclusion, then surely that inclusion has to be members of all and castes of all aspects of our society. So if you've got somebody who's from a different caste, who's not an Adivasi, who's showering petals and tributes, you know, on our first tribal president, what's wrong with that? I mean, I don't see what the problem there is.
I mean, India, the last time we checked, is still committed to the secular values. So if she's only inviting, and that's the problem we notice here, there is the Adivasi land has been the turf of this dominating of either religious, the missionary faiths have worked within this line of thought. And so if it is about claiming showering petals, it is the status where every time only Brahmins get prominence. Why is Brahmin hegemony considered or normalized in the way that India operates and sees itself?
Khushbu Sundar, respond to that before I go across to my other panelists. Go ahead, Khushbu.
Yes. It's quite surprising that a very learned person like Dr. Yengde comes up with this kind of an observation. I would have appreciated if he would have said that it's so lovely to see this kind of a harmony where an Adivasi has been showered upon with petals and so much of praises from a different community and caste altogether. I mean, this is what we are talking about, harmony. This is what we are talking about, secularism. This is what we are talking about, democracy. And somebody as learned as you, it's quite surprising. And a bit of disappointment, Dr. Yengde. I would have really, really appreciated if you would have understood the actual harmony of this entire the ceremonial thing we saw. I would have really appreciated if you would have agreed to that point rather than trying to pin that it was a Brahmanism or is not the Adivasi Santhali prayers offered. I think this is what India is very vibrant and colorful, and that what makes the nation as the richest nation. It's not about the casteism, but it's about we all coming together and celebrating a woman who comes from such a humble background. And here we are as the first lady of the nation, the first, the citizen of the nation. And this is what we celebrate.
I don't think he disagrees with that. I just think, he's talking about who's doing that. He's talking about how the BJP perhaps is a party which is seen to be, has traditionally had support among the elite in our castes. It's been a largely Brahminical party. In many senses, is now, as a token move, that's the argument, I don't necessarily agree with it, putting up a president or nominating a president who's Adivasi, and that sort of representation has not really happened at the level it should. I would suggest, Khushbu, that's the point being made. Khushbu, go ahead. I think she's just lost that signal over there, but I just want to go across for a moment, if I can, to Mr. Prakash Ambedkar as well, because one of the big problems, Mr. Ambedkar, is representation in parliamentary panels. Again, here's a statistic. Only 8 of 27 committees, as of last year, in parliament, met or surpassed the 25.4% representation of SC, ST MPs in the 17th Lok Sabha. So if we did have 25.5% almost, percent representation of SCSTs, very few panels, just 8 of 27, had that. The point being, representation of Adivasis in important parliamentary panels just doesn't exist in our country.
Mr. Soam, the question is not of representation. Question is of the mentality. Dr. Gandhi spoke of that mentality. In the sense that Dr. Draupadi Murmu is the Adivasi. And they don't believe in God. They believe in natural forces. Would you mean the kind of ceremony that went on? Would we say that we accepted her culture? Did we accept her as it is? Sorry, I would say that we didn't accept it as it is. She has a different culture. She has a different language. She has a different way of thinking. We have not accepted her as it is. What we have done is we have plucked from the Adivasi, put her as a president, and we are now trying to sanitize her. That is what we are trying to do now. My basic question is, the whole nation addresses the Adivasi as Adivasis. But the RSS and BJP has not accepted the word Adivasi. They are saying that they are Vanvasis. Question is, again, an Aryan theory which comes, which I'm not going to go into. Is BJP and RSS now going to accept the concept of Adivasi as Adivasi, and will they leave the word Vanvasi all times together?
All right. I think that's a key question, Captain Ganesh Karnik of the BJP. Would you like to respond?
That's a key.
Right. Let's try and get a response from the BJP. Captain Karnik, would you like to take that?
Vishnu, thanks for calling me on this panel. Good evening to all the esteemed panelists. Let me outrightly congratulate Madam Draupadi Murmu, being the 15th president on the occasion of the country celebrating the 75th year of its independence. People who have problems with themselves and people who have problems with Mr. Modi, they're all finding problems with this particular election. I would like to say this is the beauty of Indian democracy. She has been elected to the constitutional post through a process of election. And the decency demands that they must accept this and then congratulate her. There's a minimum that we
expect. No, but I don't think anybody is not welcoming her on this panel. We've established that she is very welcome as our president.
BJP spokesman is unaware that I was the first person who officially asked the opposition leader to withdraw from the scene and allow Draupadi Murmu to get elected.
He's making another point.
The first one, appealing Captain to Karni. All the SCs and STs to vote for her.
Yeah.
So you can't make that accusation against all the opposition. So be very clear with your facts
What I said, why should I withdraw the statement? You are finding fault and you are talking of symbolism.
We are not finding fault.
He is democratically elected to an electorate.
You must give it to her. Question, we are not expecting. We have already congratulated her. We have already supported her. So that's not the issue. The issue now
what
is...
What is the issue then? What is your problem?
Issue now
what
is
the issue?
That the Adivasis are not being accepted as Adivasis, but your party and your RSS has been addressing them as Vanvasis.
I don't want to react on that.
Why not, sir?
Why don't you want to react?
You look at the legacy of party. When we first came into power, people said, like you, people said, we are against the minorities. We made Dr. Abdul Kalam as the president. Next, you said, we are not the SEs and
SDs. Captain Karnik, he's asking you a very pointed question. He's asking you about how one should be referring to members of the Adivasi community. Should the BJP not use the term Adivasi as opposed to just Vanvasi, which has been the term which has been used in the past? Yes or no?
BJP uses the word Adivasis. There is no doubt about it. There is no doubt.
We have a consistent discussion,
and they're called as Adivasis.
All your institutions which are there, they are using the word Vanvasi and not Adivasis.
No. There is only a Vanvasi Kalyan Yojana as per the RSS, not BJP. Don't get confused.
Don't fool the people. People are not foolish.
You are confused.
The question is, people will not be fooled by your statement. People will not be fooled by your statement.
Sir, don't worry. You are confused.
Please,
BJP never says Adivasis.
I have put you a question. This question was put again. I'll tell you when Madam Indira Gandhi was there. There was a word that was used for scheduled caste, that was Harijan. Many of the MPs opposed it. And then she had the dignity to take out a GR in saying that anybody who uses the word Harijan will be prosecuted criminally. And then the word scheduled caste became more popular than the Harijan.
Vishnu, what is the issue? What is the debate? Is it about
the issue is basically
Vanvasi or something else?
Vanvasi means that you are abusing them. You are not accepting them as an Adivasi.
Who said that BJP is using Vanvasi? BJP is not using Vanvasi. This is your wild imagination.
BJP is using Vanvasi. RSS is using Vanvasi.
No, please.
Both are
please,
using Vanvasi.
No.
All right. I want to move across to my other panelists for a moment. Johar Sarkar, you had a point to make. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, yeah. I've been trying to tell that somebody has mentioned that this is only 7 years that we have had to do wonders. Now, let's get our calculations clear. Mr. Modi's regime is on the 8th year. Before that, also, there were 8 years of BJP rule, 5 years under Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee and 3 years in coalitions of different sorts. So it's a total of 16 years. And in 16 years, you could have put up an Adivasi, put up a Muslim, put up anyone. Number two, the tokenism becomes very clear when you see that Madam Murmu's village did not have electricity despite the fact that she was a prominent member, a minister of the Odisha cabinet, a governor, did not have electricity at all. The system did not bother enough to have electricity in her village till very recently. So we understand what tokenism is. Foisting her name, foisting her tribe. These are all acts of political tokenism.
Who will
so I stand by my point.
DMC,
and
sir.
Vishnu,
we have seen it in West
Vishnu,
Bengal.
Please don't interrupt. Vishnu, we can go into any number of statistics when you compare the 7% of the tribal population with any composition you want, any tribe. When you take
Mr. Sarkar, I think one point that is not mentioned are the schemes which this government has announced, right, for the Adivasi community or communities in our country. I mean, I could list them as well. The point being that they have the Pradhan Mantri Dhan Yojana scheme, it's a personalized outreach for tribal communities, the Eklavya model residential schools, the Janjatiya Gaurav Divas, RSS's Vanvasi Kalyan Ashrams, which have existed in the past. You know, again, the point being that for those who say that it's tokenism. I've just listed four examples which I have researched and found out. Could you tell me if these are not working, Mr. Sarkar?
Many earlier governments have also done the same scheme. Only the name has changed, but the material has not changed.
There's a renaming spree.
I'll just come to
the figures or the malnutrition within the Adivasis. The whole situation will be very clear.
We have
an Adivasi president who can look after that there will not be malnutrition within the Adivasis. That's one of the biggest issues within the Adivasis.
All right.
In a survey in Gujarat, it was found that 74% of the Adivasis during the 12 years of Mr. Modi's regime suffered through very, very acute malnutrition. So we can name malnutrition, we can name atrocities, we can go on to any amount of statistics, including representation. But what matters the most is what Mr. Ambedkar and others have mentioned, Mr. Yangdi has mentioned. It's a question of mentality. It's a question of foisting them up when it suits your convenience. It is not a question of accepting them. The heterogeneity of India, the beauty of plurality of India is not accepted.
Mr.
It is a homogenizing mode.
All right,
Mr.
okay. I just look. I'm running short on time. Khushbu, you have the last word. Go ahead.
I think all the esteemed panelists here, I think they need to understand the kind of accusations they have been giving from different parties and absolute leftist mindset. Please understand that if Mr. Modi was not doing the right thing, he wouldn't be chosen back in again as the Prime Minister of the country. And let me remind you, the tribals have voted for BJP in the past and in 2019. Whatever the percentage we have, they have voted for BJP. You have seen in the northeast countries how BJP has soared in the last 8 years, how much we have gained the popularity and how much the government of India has done, the BJP has done for the tribal and the backward community. And every time they keep talking about tokenism, all I would like to tell them is, whether it is Telangana, whether it is West Bengal, who would understand about tokenism and appeasement more than these parties? Because we know what the kind of work you do, okay, sir. We live in this country. So tokenism and appeasement is what suits these people in West Bengal
all right.
and
so
Telangana.
One set of accusations on tokenism versus another said, can I just end this program by saying, I think it would be wonderful to see more members of the Adivasi community who are MPs in our country actually speak in parliament. Other than the Communist Party of India in the 16th Lok Sabha between 2014 and 2019, which had 44.6 as an average rough approximation of the number of times of Adivasi members speaking, all other parties, whether it's the BJP, the Congress, the Trinamool Congress, the BJD, the AIADMK and the Shiv Sena, were appalling when it came to number of speeches, number of times they've actually spoken. Perhaps inclusion needs to begin at Parliament. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. Out of time on this program, we've got a couple of questions on coup. Nikita writes in saying, can we call it representation through symbolic inclusion? And another view, it was a proud moment because of two reasons. Our president is from a tribal community and is also a woman. Well, it is a welcome day for India. We've got a new president, a woman leader, and also somebody from our Adivasi community. But will enough be done to ensure Adivasi rights in India? We're out of time on this program. From all of us here, goodbye.